Good morning. I will call this hybrid meeting to the, of the House Ways and Means Committee for April the 26th to order. And again, good morning, everyone. I hope we're doing well. This hearing is taking place pursuant to Rule 10.01 and can also be viewed through the House webcast. Ms. Anna, please take the roll for attendance.
Chair Moran.
Present.
Vice Chair Olson.
Present.
Representative Garofalo.
Present.
Representative Albright.
Present.
Representative Becker Finn. Representative Bernardi, excused. Representative Eklund.
Present.
Representative Hansen.
Present.
Representative Hassan.
Present.
Representative Hertas.
Hertas, present.
Representative Hornstein.
Hornstein, present.
Representative Johnson.
Present.
Representative Crenshaw, excused. Representative Liebling.
Present.
Representative Lilly.
Lilly, present.
Representative Mariani. Representative Marquardt.
Present.
Representative Miller, excused. Representative Nash.
Present.
Representative Nelson. Representative Noor.
Present.
Representative O'Neill.
Present.
Representative Pulaski.
Pulaski, present.
Representative Petersburg.
Present.
Representative Pinto.
Present.
Representative Schumacher.
Present.
Representative Schultz.
Present.
Representative Scott.
Here.
Representative Sundin.
Sundin, present.
Representative Becker Finn. And Representative Nelson.
Present. Nelson, present.
Nelson, present. Madam Chair, a quorum is present.
So a quorum is present. So our first agenda item is approval of the minutes from our previous hearing. The meetings were provided. And we have any
team? Madam Chair, I would like to move the minutes from Monday, April 25th for approval.
Your side's a little late.
Right. So move.
Yep.
So all those, are there any questions or corrections to the minutes? If not, all in favor of approving the minutes, say aye.
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 All opposed? The motion prevails and the minutes are approved. So we have a full agenda today, and we'll get through as much as we can by 10:45, and then we'll recess and return around 1 o'clock if necessary to complete the agenda. Before we get to the bills, we need to revisit the budget resolution. So Vice Chair Olson, would you please take the gavel in the chair?
Chair Moran, proceed.
So, members, I move the 2022 budget resolution coded BUS-RETS 04 before the committee.
Proceed.
Members, this is the budget resolution that we adopted on April the 19th. Part of the resolution was based on the assumption that some bills would travel separately as other bills. Amendments that will be considered today would incorporate those bills into the job omnibus. So the resolution needs to be adjusted. So I'd like to move the BUS-RETS 03 amendment.
So the amendment is before us. Would you like to provide further explanation, Chair Moran?
Yes, Chair Olson. So this amendment just shifts funding between the other bills, line items, and the targets for workforce and labor. It does not increase the general fund spending line. Specifically, the amendment does a couple of few things. It shifts roughly $32 million from the claims and other bills category to the workforce target to cover the paid family leave, the paid family medical leave, H4355A9 amendment. It also shifts $1.636 million in funding from the HF-41 earned sick and safe time bill, which was previously passed and accounted for as a line in the other bills category. And instead shifts that to the labor target to accommodate the H-4177-89 amendment. And lastly, other provisions contained in amendments considered today don't impact the budget resolution. Ms. Adrian, did I miss anything? You'd like to add anything?
Ms. Adrian.
Madam Chair and Chair Moran, you did a really good job explaining it. And all members, all of the numbers that Chair Moran referenced are reflected in the new House budget target sheet that you have.
Chair Moran, anything more or turn to member discussion?
We're open for discussion.
Okay. The amendment is before us. Any discussion to the amendment? No discussion. Chair Moran, anything more?
No, let's go for a vote.
Great. So the amendment, the budget resolution 04-AO3 amendment is before us. So we'll proceed to a vote. All those in favor, say aye.
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 All those opposed?
No.
No.
The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted.
Thank you. All right. So we're going to transition here a little bit. Mm-hmm.
Madam Chair, if I may, while you're approaching the gavel, if I could just... So last night we had a longer floor session than expected, I think, for many of us, out of respect for staff and members. Our side of the aisle has discussed that we want to make sure we expedite today's hearing. I think it's a reasonable goal that we can get this done by 10:15 or 10:20. I would just ask DFL authors to stick to fiscal matters and get things, just to move things through the process today. Again, out of respect for our staff and out of members because of the late night, and we have another long floor session today. So that's what you can expect from the side of the aisle today. Thank you.
Well, I really appreciate that, Representative Broccolo, and based on your acknowledgement of moving this, I will agree, and we're going to do our best to make that happen.
Good.
So our first bill up is House File 41777, which is a Supplemental Labor and Industry Omnibus. Chair Eklund, would you like to move House File 4177 to get the bill before the committee?
That would be my motion, Madam Chair.
All right. Do you also have an author's amendment? Would you like to move now and explain?
I will move the author's amendment. I believe it's the A11 amendment, Madam Chair.
Okay. Are there any questions on the A11 amendment? Seeing no questions, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed say nay. The motion prevails. Okay. Is there another amendment, Vice Chair Olson? You have the A9 amendment?
That's correct, Madam Chair. So I move the A9 amendment, which is the earned sick and safe time language, which the fiscal part was discussed when Madam Chair presented the budget resolution. And so we are adding this to the omnibus bill as sort of another way to bring the conversation around worker protections to the conference committee. So, and I've talked to Chair Eklund and he supports, well, he can speak for this, but we have had conversation. He knows I was going to be bringing this amendment today.
Okay, Chair Eklund, do you have any guidance on the amendment?
Madam Chair, that'd be a friendly amendment.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions on the A9 amendment? Seeing no further questions, the A9 amendment is before us. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
All those say nay.
No.
The motion prevails.
No.
So, Chair Eklund, House File 4177, as amended, is before us. Please tell us about your bill, and then we'll move to questions.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. Well, this is the labor bill that's in front of us, and as the members on my committee, our committee, I made clear throughout the session that this bill was going to be directed at worker safety and workforce safety, taking care of the folks that do the labor for the state of Minnesota. Some of the proponents in the bill, Madam Chair and members, is a fee holiday for workers in the building and construction business. This would be the millwrights, the electricians, those folks that are in the skilled trades that have to pay a fee every year. So we have a fee holiday on that. There's a logger safety provision that extends a program that we started last year It was a very popular program. The logging industry is one of the most dangerous industries in the state of Minnesota, and this provides grants for logging companies and independent loggers to work on the safety programs that they need. We have provision protecting ag workers, especially some of the skeletal issues that they have from working long shifts on the floor. There's a provision in there for youth skills training. And one of the ones that I'm probably most proud of is we've got a liaison provision in the Department of Labor and Industry for some of the veterans things that we have done in the past and are doing this year for getting our veterans into the trades and into apprenticeship programs and that sort of thing. They'll be coordinating that. We incorporated the Amazon Workers Bill into this to put some give Department of Labor and Industry some guidance and ways to work on these large warehouse programs that have a very high injury incident rate. And I can talk more about that when we get to it. We have got a provision in here for federal OSHA compliance for OSHA rules. The Department of Labor and Industry does a great job administering OSHA rules, but if we don't comply with the new OSHA regulations, and then we will it will be taken away and we'll be under federal guidance. And when they do that, it's just issuing fines, where with the Department of Labor and Industry administering the OSHA rules, they can work with the industries, and there may be a fine, but they can also work to remediate and maybe reduce what the fines are. We got provision in here for prevailing wage enforcement and funding the Bureau of Mediation Services. And with that, Madam Chair, that's the labor bill, and I can stand for questions.
All right. Thank you, Chair Eklund. No other amendments were filed. Any questions? Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Eklund, I do want to thank you for line 55 of the spreadsheet. You highlighted this in your presentation. The building and trade license fee holiday, certainly anytime we have an opportunity to reduce costs, I think that's a good thing. Obviously, with the amendments that have been attached to your bill, we've debated it extensively in this committee and on the House floor. I'll be opposing it, encouraging members to oppose it as well. But I do wish you luck in conference committee on getting the fee holiday implemented. Thank you.
All right. Well, seeing no further discussion, I want to thank you, Chair Eklund, for your committee work to really ensure a fair and safe workplace. With that, the chair will lay over 4177 as amended. So, members, the next bill up is House File 3337, the Supplemental Climate and Energy Omnibus. Welcome to the committee, Chair Long.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Vice Chair Olson, would you like to move House File 3337 to get the bill before the committee?
So moved, Madam Chair.
All right. Thank you. So, Chair Long, there is also an author's amendment that's been pre-filed. Would you like to take and bring that bill before the committee?
Yes, please, Madam Chair.
Yes. So,
Madam Chair, I move the H3337A12 amendment for the author.
Okay. Can you please explain your amendment or the amendment?
Happy to. It is a technical correction amendment to get the finance portions accurate, and then changes a couple titles.
Okay. Members, are there any questions on the amendment? Seeing no questions to the A12 amendment that is before us, all those in favor say aye.
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 All opposed say nay.
No.
The motion prevails. So House File 3337, as amended, is before us. Chair Long, please continue with your presentation of the bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for having me this morning. The climate and energy bill before us today is focused on reaching agreement on clean energy solutions. It does not include a number of provisions the House passed last year, but the Senate was unwilling to move forward on. Instead, it's focused on practical efforts to help facilitate the clean energy transition in ways that will benefit all Minnesotans. The bill is spending $80 million from the general fund in fiscal year 2023 and $15 million per year in the TAILS
The bill also spends $40 million in funding in fiscal year 23 and another $40 million in 24 and 25 from the renewable development account. The bill prioritizes energy affordability. Our largest investment, $30 million in FY23 and $15 million in the tails, is in weatherization. Weatherization can save households hundreds of dollars per year while creating local jobs all across Minnesota. Wisconsin is currently doing three times as much as we are, and this bill will allow us to match Wisconsin in 2023 and do twice as much as we currently do going forward. The second largest investment in the bill is $20 million in matching funding for the federal bipartisan infrastructure bill. There are tens of billions of dollars in the energy space open for competitive grants. This includes funding for grid reliability and resiliency, electric vehicle deployment, clean hydrogen research, energy storage demonstrations, to mention a few. And this will allow the state to put together competitive applications to maximize our opportunities for this funding. The bill invests in clean transportation, including electric vehicle infrastructure, electric buses, and creates policy frameworks to support electric vehicles. The bill invests in resilient infrastructure and communities, supporting extension investments that will matter to Minnesota corn growers and other farmers. Cities have also told us they need help in planning for climate, both so they can do their part and so they can plan for infrastructure investments, and this bill does that. We also make meaningful progress on climate justice. We help Minnesotans afford electric panel upgrades so they can be a part of the clean energy transition. And we fund apprenticeship training for communities often overlooked in the clean energy economy. This bill will mean jobs across a wide range of skilled professions and industries. And we also help out communities with legacy fossil fuel plants, supporting their transition and economic development. And I'm happy to stand for any questions.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair Long. Representative Scott.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Long, I'm wondering, is there anything in your bill that would address a project that would stop the wind from blowing so much these days? I mean, I am sick and tired of the wind. Is there anything in your bill that addresses changing that?
Chair Long.
Well, Madam Chair, there are some climate models that project that we do get higher wind patterns as the weather warms. So this bill is trying to address climate change. So hopefully, yes, we can take care of that for you.
Madam Chair, so I ask both to my right and my left,
be involved in that.
You know, if I bring this up, will they say it's a result of climate change? And sure enough. But the wind energy ought to be off the charts these days if there was only a way to store all that energy. So thank you for allowing me the question.
Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I'll be asking members to oppose the bill today. One of the things that continues to be an issue is the fact that Minnesota is the only state in the country that actually has a surcharge, a tax on nuclear power, and this continues with the renewable development account. The money that would be in there, Representative Long, makes an aggressive effort at spending in a non-budget year. Spending that money is not the right course of action. What we should be doing to help ratepayers is capping or eliminating that assessment that is punishing Xcel Energy and punishing ratepayers for having nuclear energy. You'll notice that the dry cask storage fees are actually the opposite of what the Biden administration is doing right now. The Biden administration recently announced additional funds to help keep nuclear power plants open because of the competitive nature of the combination of wind and natural gas. It's literally pricing nuclear power fleets out of our power diverse power portfolio. And right now, despite the focuses of the committee that Chair Long has mentioned, the number one threat to increased emissions in the state of Minnesota is the premature closure of our nuclear power fleet. And closing down the Monticello and Prairie Island nuclear power plants is the environmental equivalent of adding 1 million gas mobiles to our transportation system. And yet we are seeing very little, if any, action from the supposed environmental left and from the DFL on this issue. So for those reasons and others, I'll be saving my comments primarily for the floor, but I would ask for a no vote on this. Thank you.
All right, Chair Long, you can respond and you can do closing comments.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I ask for member support.
Thank you so much. Well, I just really want to say I always want to thank you for your work and for your committee work. on really to continue transitioning to a clean energy economy. It makes a difference, and thank you for leading. So with that, Chair, we'll lay over House File 3337 as amended. So our next bill up is House File 3607, the Supplemental Commerce Omnibus. Okay, Chair Stevenson, welcome to the committee.
Good morning.
Good morning. Vice Chair Olson, would you like to move House File 3607 to get the bill before the committee?
So moved, Madam Chair.
All right, so thank you. Chair Stevenson, there is also an office amendment that was pre-filed. Chair Olson, can you also move that?
Yes, I move the H3607A16 amendment.
Okay. Chair Stevenson, can you explain the amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is an amendment just to get the bill in the shape I'd like the committee to consider it, and making a number of largely technical changes and fixes to some appropriations language.
Okay, Representative Garofalo, question?
Madam Chair, before we take this up, and maybe it's a question for nonpartisan staff, when I looked at this amendment last night, I think it said that there was funding for the Department of Education in it. I think, is that this amendment?
Yeah.
Is it, can nonpartisan yes. staff just cover, I'm not familiar with this, I just, if perhaps you could just cover where that money is being carried and which target. Is it in the commerce target, or is it in the education target?
Ms. Adrian.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. And Ms. Eng is on the call, so in case I screw it up and don't explain it properly, she should correct me. But there is a licensing provision in this bill, and so because it impacts different departments, then they're listed. Because the licensing provision impacts different departments, different agencies within the state, those are separated out, and the funding for those agencies is in the bill.
Okay.
And it is included in the targets that we that each committee area has.
So, Madam Chair, Ms. Adrian, so it's carried in the individual committee's targets, or is it carried in the, okay?
That's correct. This would be included in this budget area's target.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Representative Albright. To the A6 amendment.
Madam Chair, my questions would pertain to the bill overall.
Okay, you want to hold off?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. Seeing no further questions, the A16 amendment is before us. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
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 All opposed say nay.
No.
The motion prevails. So House File 3607, as amended, is before us. Chair Stevenson, please continue with your presentation of the bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. House File 3607 is the Commerce Supplemental Budget. It does contain both finance and policy measures at the request of the Chair and Lead Garofalo. I'll just stick to the policy, or to the finance, rather. We had a target of $7.8 million with $6.2 million in the tails. Finance provisions include a student loan advocate position in the Department of Commerce. This builds upon the Student Loan Borrowers Bill of Rights that passed as part of the budget agreement last year. This position would do education and outreach to students to try and prevent them from getting into trouble in the first place in terms of their student loans. It also contains a number of provisions relating to the Commerce Fraud Bureau, including funding for 5 additional peace officers in the Commerce Fraud Bureau to do the very important work they do on investigating insurance fraud. The bill also does expand their jurisdiction to include other financial crimes and gives them general fund money to accomplish that, since the Commerce Fraud Bureau is funded off assessments on insurance companies. We think it's important that they have general fund money for the extent they're doing work that doesn't relate to insurance fraud. The Commerce Fraud Bureau also operates the auto theft prevention account, and we put additional general fund money into that program to recognize the problems that we are experiencing with the high amount of auto theft. It also includes Representative Haley's bill to study the geographic rating areas of MNsure to try and correct some of the imbalances between particularly southeastern Minnesota and the rest of the state. Lastly, it does include additional staffing in the insurance division and the governor's senior fraud prevention program. Oh, and this licensing program that we just referred to. What that is a program that it does not change any licensing requirements for any license that's obtained across the state. It just gives applicants the opportunity to have their background, their criminal background check done before they obtain the education and training and skills necessary to apply for the license and receive a determination from the licensing entity as to whether they are eligible. Again, it does not make anyone eligible who is not currently eligible. It's just letting people know on the front end whether they are eligible. Happy to answer questions.
Thank you, Chair Stevenson. We have Representative Albright.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Stevenson, I'm looking at page 70 of the bill with regard to section 29, and I see that there are some substantial material modifications to compliance with regard to FINRA, and you're inserting data and descriptive with regard to comparable standards. Could you elaborate in terms of the rationale for why you are changing this in such a material way?
You are discussing, I'm sorry, Madam Chair, Representative Albright, are you discussing the language additions you said on page 70 on lines, you're looking at beginning on line 70.27?
Representative Albright.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Chair Stevenson, yes.
Chair Stevenson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Representative Albright. This language comes from a model act coming out of the NAIC and relating to annuity suitability. It represents a consensus position of both stakeholders and regulators. And in this case, having the comparable standard allows, I think, greater flexibility for both commissioner and stakeholders.
Representative Albright.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Chair Stevenson, is your understanding then that FINRA is being supplanted by the NAIC language?
Chair Stevenson.
Madam Chair, Representative Albright, I don't know if I would use the word supplanted. I would say that this is the approach that the NAIC, the stakeholders in the department want to take on this issue going forward. I would note that this language is also traveling as a standalone bill, which, if memory serves, received unanimous support in the Commerce Committee.
Representative Albright.
Madam Chair, having spent a lot of time as a compliance officer for an RIA, an investment advisor, it always triggers me when I see changes to the compliance, particularly with regard to some of the investment vehicles that are utilized and are described in here, particularly with the annuities and some of the others. And then wrap that around the axle with regard to then you're also including a narrative on page 72 with regard to the SEC and the fiduciary responsibility for investment advisors. And I must say, Chair Stevenson, I hope that you are getting this right at your own peril and for the people that support this industry in Minnesota. So I'll look forward to the stakeholders maybe reaching out to me and seeing what their descriptive for these changes are. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Albright. Representative Scott.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Stevenson, could you, I'm looking at the spreadsheet, and could you tell me what is going on line 51 of 52 with this licensing provision that you've been talking about and the $27,000 that goes to the Attorney General in the next few years, each year?
Chair Stevenson.
So, Madam Chair, Representative Scott, I would want to pull up the fiscal note for House File 3403 to speak specifically to what the Attorney General was requesting, but I will tell you that generally what House File 3403 does is it creates a avenue for people who are seeking a license in a particular field or interested in seeking a license, I should say, to obtain a criminal background check and find out if they are eligible to sorry, I'm also trying to pull up the fiscal note while I'm talking to you so that I can give you a better answer. But the general cost is for agencies to review and make those determinations. Having said that, so my belief would be that this would be for what the Attorney General is doing on that space, but perhaps there's something that I'm forgetting, and if I can find the fiscal note, I will be able to give you a more complete answer. So that's the best I can do right now, but I will look for the fiscal note for that bill while we are continuing to talk.
Representative Scott. Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Stevenson, so is it some sort of enforcement cost, or is this for people that are having some sort of, well, it says licensing applications is the, well, that's the title of the bill, but it just seems like, I just don't really understand why the Attorney General would need to be involved here, and I'm not familiar with the underlying bill, I guess, but it just seems like, you know, if it's for criminal background checks, that doesn't go to the Attorney General, that's the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension that does all the background checks. So, Madam Chair, if you could continue looking for that explanation of what that's for and report back to us if he gets that, I'd really appreciate that during this committee time if possible. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Representative Scott. So, yes, Representative Stevenson, as Representative Scott stated, if you have not found a response yet, just continue to look for it, and if possible, before we leave today, maybe you can report that back to us, but if not, please do a follow-up with Representative Scott. Oh, we have an answer here, maybe. Ms. Averitt.
Madam Chair and Representative Scott, I'm also trying to quickly look at the fiscal note. And so the Attorney General's office acts on behalf of a number of boards in terms of reviewing the licenses. And some of the boards would include, like, the Board of Chiropractic Examiners, the Board of Marriage and Family Therapy. So some of the smaller boards that don't have that need to kind of co-op services with other groups. So I think that's why the Attorney General's office is in here.
Representative Scott. Is
thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Seeing no further, Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to thank Chairman Stevenson for including two provisions in the bill. Number one is that he included an extra $870,000 for insurance fraud prevention in this bill by using general fund money. But also, I want to thank him for including Representative Robbins' bill in Article 4, Section 5. This is the unlawful social media activities provisions of this bill. This is it's an urgent matter. And Representative Stevenson, I'm hoping that if you have the chance, you're able to sit down with Representative Robbins, and maybe we can have this provision travel by itself. For those who don't know, Representative Robbins has done a great job putting together a bill that protects our kids from what is one of the primary driving factors for why we're seeing increases in teenage self-harm, children, particularly young women. And I really think this has an opportunity to gain the sort of bipartisan support we need at this session. So I would just encourage you, to the degree that you can, Representative Stevenson, I know that you have nothing else going on in your legislative portfolio right now. And so maybe you can free up a little bit of your time and have that bill be carried separately. I think that'd be a good provision. So I want to thank you for including those provisions.
All right. Representative Stevenson, I don't see any further questions. Do you have any closing comments?
I will just say it's a very good bill. I appreciate the good discussion and encourage members to support. Thank you, Representative Garofalo. I share your view of the Robbins bill.
All right. Well, thank you, Chair Stevenson, for your committee work to address the issues that are impacting, you know, the everyday lives of Minnesotans across the state. With that, the chair will lay over House File 3607 as amended. So the last bill of the job package is Representative Norris Workforce and Business Development Omnibus. This was supposed to be in the Senate file as the vehicle, but the Senate didn't pass their bill out yet. So we're proceeding with the House file, and then we need to meet up on the floor. So, Chair Noor, would you like to move House File 4355 as recommended for placement on the General Register?
Yes, Madam Chair. I move the House File 4355.
Okay, and you also have an office amendment?
Yes, Madam Chair, I do have A8 author's amendment, and I would like to do an oral amendment to the A8 amendment, Madam Chair.
Okay, why don't we move the A8 first? Right. So the A8 amendment is before us. All those in favor?
Madam Chair?
Okay, yes, Nancy. Ms. Conley, I think I have it here. Okay, okay. So we're gonna, so we have the A8 before us. And I also have an oral amendment to the A8.
So yes, Madam Chair, I do have an oral amendment on A8. This will delete everything after line one, page one, line 19. And for further clarification, I wanted to get Mr. Sullivan to explain how we're going to be removing the rest of the amendment in the bill.
Okay, please proceed.
Madam Chair and members, the Chair Noor's author's amendment effectively deletes the Article 3 that's proposed in pages 2 through the end of the amendment, page 8. So the short version of the oral amendment is page 1, delete line 20, and then delete pages 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 of the A8 amendment.
Okay, are there any questions on the oral amendment to the A8? Okay. Seeing no further questions, the oral amendment to the A8 amendment is before us. So are we all, staff, are we clear with you? We are clear, okay. So all those in favor of the oral amendment to the A8 say aye.
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 All opposed say nay.
No.
The motion prevails. So the A8 amendment as amended is before us. Any further comments, Chair Noor?
Madam Chair, the A8 as amended is a technical cleanup and thanks to the House research. It also slightly amends the mandated report section to ensure legislative oversight over the which reports are not renewed. And also it makes some changes to the Small Business Recovery Grant Program, which we have carved out some few funding for that program. And also it changes slightly the Center for Economic Inclusion by removing some of the workforce section in that bill.
Thank you for that explanation, Chair Noor. Any questions? So the A8 amendment is, as amended, is before us. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. The motion prevails. So, Noor Chair, you also have an A9 amendment.
Yes, Madam Chair. I do have the A9 amendment. That's the paid family medical leave. I'm sure most of members are familiar with that bill. Madam Chair and members, on the fiscal part of it, the bill appropriates one time only $30,347,000 for fiscal year 2023. And also it provides some funding for DLI and Department of Human Services and Management and Budget, Legislative Coordinating Commission. There's also some funding for the Supreme Court. Madam Chair and members, the paid family medical leave is a program that we have discussed extensively. Many states have...
Chair, before you go further, I don't believe I heard you move the A9 amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move the A9 amendment.
Okay, please proceed.
Thanks again, Madam Chair. So this is the paid family medical leave. This program, Madam Chair, provides help to many families and workers in the state of Minnesota. This will allow individuals to bond with their babies. It will allow pregnant women. It will allow individuals who seek to care for themselves. It will allow individuals who have got circumstances that they cannot work if it is more than 7 days. I know there'll be question about unfunded mandate. This is a program, quite frankly, that is less than a cup of coffee per week. Many states have adopted. It's a great program that we can do for the state of Minnesota for our workers and families. Madam Chair, I know we have talked extensively for many years about this program. This is the moment. This is the time. And I'm sure we can all support the workers in the state of Minnesota and ask for your support.
Representative Garofalo to the A9 amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. We have debated this provision exhaustively, so please do not consider my brevity a lack of opposition to it. We've debated this matter, and we know where we stand. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Representative Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Very briefly, Chair Neuer, can you tell us how many new FTEs will have to be hired in order to administer this program? And then I'll have one brief follow-up.
Chair Neuer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This program is modeled out of the unemployment program. And so I would like to ask the Department of DEET if anyone has got the FTE information, if they can provide it. Or yes. We can go to the fiscal staff. Mm-hmm.
Is Ms. Ng available to respond to the question?
Well, Madam Chair, perhaps I can just answer that. I knew the answer going in. It's 350 new FTEs that will be required to administer the program. 350 new FTEs. So now to my follow-up, Chair Neuer. Historically, there has been a giant hurdle with the software that will be required to administer this program. To date, it doesn't exist. People are clinging on to the idea of the Washington State UI, which is interesting since we had that debate last night, but trying to hold on to the Washington State's UI program. Can you tell us if you've reconciled how that's going to be rolled out?
Chair Neuer.
Madam Chair, Representative Nash, I'm sure you're aware of how our program works under the unemployment program. We have got one of the best program in the country. Quite frankly, this program is extensively modeled out of the UI program. And we know that system has been functional. We know that the programs, the way that this is carved out, it doesn't go through the regular process. And I can assure you, based on the analysis and many states that have already adopted this program, we can really bring this program quickly because we can have off-the-shelf models that exist. We can modify the existing programs to make sure that we can accommodate a much-needed program at this point.
Madam Chair, just to finish. Well, Representative Neuer, I'm sorry, I didn't maybe clarify the software program required for this, not the program itself, but the software program does not exist. So with that, thank you, Madam Chair.
You don't mind, Representative Nash, but I would also like to call on Ms. Ng to clarify that it's that many employees that's going to be added. So if Ms. Ng, if you have an answer to that question.
Madam Chair and representatives, for DEED, it's 320 in fiscal 2025, so that would make sense.
All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. So we have Representative Scott.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Neuer, could you point to me which line on the spreadsheet is the IT piece of implementing this amendment?
Chair Neuer.
Madam Chair, I'd like to ask the nonpartisan research to point us to the page since the amendment I cannot quickly point out to.
Ms. Jolin?
It's going to be Ms. James.
Madam Chair and members, so you're looking for where in the author's amendment has the IT costs, is that correct?
Madam Chair and Ms. Yes.
Ms. James.
Okay.
Ms. James?
Yes, I'm looking right now. I just might need one moment. I believe that it's not, it would be in the number for deeds. So that's at line 1.4. And for fiscal year 23. It's included in that number, I believe. And Ms. Eng can clarify that too.
Madam Chair, representatives, that's correct.
Okay.
So, Madam Chair, thank you. And so back to House Fiscal Staff. So there's no breakdown of how much is for IT and how much is for the rest of the program?
I could get that for you. It is, Madam Chair, representatives, it's about 15.5 million per year.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, that helps. So 15.5 million just for the IT piece. And given the track record of Minnesota, MnLARS and MnSure, you can double or triple that. We can just expect to double or triple that. So really, maybe that'll be a floor amendment that we just up that, because we know already that that's going to have to happen, given the track record here in Minnesota. That's all I have, Madam Chair. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Okay. So so the A9 amendment is before us. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
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 All opposed say nay.
No.
The motion prevails. Okay, we have the bill as amended before us. Please continue with your presentation, Representative Noor, and cover the highlights of the bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. Going through the highlights of the bill, Madam Chair, members, this bill establishes or invests in a SPARC revolving loan program of $45 million. This is, quite frankly, to support businesses who do not have access to traditional or conventional loan programs, and also provides a unique program of a community ownership model. We also have $35 million for the Small Business Recovery Grant Program. This grant program provides another round of economic relief for eligible businesses such as hospitality, personal care, and indoor recreation. We also have the Main Street Revitalization Program by investing $20 million. We also provide $7.5 million for the Canadian Border Relief Program. We also create a unique program for Emerging Developer Fund, which is a revolving loan program. This is to support individuals who have never had the opportunity to be involved in development in that industry. Quite frankly, to support many folks who have been marginalized or individuals who have not had the opportunity, for women, for BIPOC, for individuals with disabilities, for veterans, and others who can take advantage of. We also fund the redevelopment program for $5 million. Madam Chair and members, we know the significant need for childcare across the state. We're investing $4 million in the childcare grant program. We also provide $5 million for business technical assistance. Likewise, we provide $5 million for Women of CAL Economic Security Program by providing funding to CAL, to the Women's Foundation of Minnesota, and also to the Center for Economic Inclusion. Madam Chair and members, as we are aware of the labor force shortage, we're investing $20 million in workforce development to provide for reskilling, upskilling, and next skilling. And also, we do have the Youth Technology Training Program. Madam Chair and members, Minnesota is ranked 50 out of 50 when it comes to the computer science AP. And I'm sure Representative Nash will appreciate having more folks in that industry, because technology is something we both really care about. And also, it provides $750,000 for team teamworks to provide opportunity for youth who really need help at this point during the summer program. We're also investing $25.23 million in targeted community program grant program. Likewise, Madam Chair, we're investing $1 million for people to join us in the state of Minnesota. This is our marketing. We never had a marketing program for the state of Minnesota. We also established Office of New Americans to support the newly arriving immigrants from Ukraine, from Afghanistan, and all over the world. We know we need them to hit the ground immediately. We're also providing funding to the Volex to support employment. Madam Chair, that's in a nutshell this program. It creates more equitable economic recovery, particularly for communities that have been left out for a long time, and I ask for your support.
Well, thank you, Chair Nora, for that overview. Are there any questions or comments to House File 4355 as amended? Seeing no further discussion, Chair Nora, do you have any closing comments before we begin with the motion to combine the bills?
Nothing further, Madam Chair, and ask for your support again.
All right. So thank you, Chair Nora, for your committee's work in the development of economic opportunity for businesses of all types and sizes, and in recognizing the value of increasingly diverse businesses and the contributions that they make to our state as a whole. So there being no further discussion, we will proceed to with a series of motions to combine these four bills and to send them to the floor. So, Chair Nora, would you like to move that the language contained in House File 4355 as amended be incorporated into the Jobs and Economic Development Omnibus as separate articles?
So moved, Madam Chair.
And we are using House File 4355 as the vehicle. So the normal motion is before us. To be clear, this is just on the motion to include the workforce bill as separate articles in the omnibus bill. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Say nay.
No.
The motion prevails. Next, Chair Eklund. Would you like to move that the language contained in House File 4177 as amended be incorporated into the Jobs and Economic Development Omnibus as separate articles?
That is my motion, Madam Chair.
So the Eklund motion is before us. Again, this vote is just to add the language from the labor bill as a separate article to the omnibus. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say nay.
No.
The motion prevails. Okay, Vice Chair Olson, would you like to move that the language of House File 3337 as amended be incorporated into the Jobs and Economic Development Omnibus as a separate article?
So moved, Madam Chair.
So the Olson motion is before us. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
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 All opposed say nay.
No.
And the motion prevails. Vice Chair Olson, would you like to move that the language of House File 3607 as amended be incorporated into the Job and Economic Development Omnibus as separate articles?
So moved, Madam Chair.
So the Olson motion is before us. Does all those in favor of the motion say aye?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed say nay?
No.
The motion prevails. House File 4355 as amended is before us. The next vote will be the final vote on the combined package. Chair Knorr renews his motion, his original motion, that House File 4355 as amended be recommended for placement on the general register, and that nonpartisan staff be directed to make any technical corrections and amend the title. This will be a roll call. Ms. Anna, please take the roll call.
Chair Moran.
Aye.
Moran, aye. Vice Chair Olson.
Aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Garofalo.
Garofalo, no.
Garofalo, no. Representative Albright.
Albright, no.
Albright, no. Representative Becker Finn.
Aye.
Becker Finn, aye. Representative Bernardi.
Aye.
Bernardi, aye. Representative Eklund.
Aye.
Eklund, aye. Representative Hansen.
Aye.
Hansen, aye. Representative Hassan.
Hassan, aye.
Hassan, aye. Representative Hertas.
Hertas, no.
Hertas, no. Representative Hornstein.
Hornstein, aye.
Hornstein, aye. Representative Johnson.
Johnson, no.
Johnson, no. Representative Kreshaw.
Kreshaw, no.
Kreshaw, no. Representative Liebling.
Liebling, aye.
Liebling, aye. Representative Lilly. Representative Mariani.
Mariani, aye.
Mariani, aye. Representative Marquardt.
Aye.
Marquardt?
Aye. Representative Miller, excused. Representative Nash?
Nash, no.
Nash, no. Representative Nelson?
Nelson, aye.
Nelson, aye. Representative Nora?
Aye.
Nora, aye. Representative O'Neill?
O'Neill, no.
O'Neill, no. Representative Pawlowski?
Pawlowski, aye.
Pawlowski, aye. Representative Petersburg?
No.
Petersburg, no. Representative Pinto?
Aye.
Pinto, aye. Representative Schumacher?
Schumacher, no.
Schumacher, no. Representative Schultz?
Aye.
Schultz, aye. Representative Scott?
No.
Scott, no. Representative Sundin?
Aye.
Sundin, aye. And Representative Lilly?
Lilly is excused.
Oh, Lilly excused. Madam Chair, that is 17 ayes and 10 nays.
There have been 17 ayes and 10 nays. The motion prevails. House File 4355, as amended, is recommended for placement on the general register. And the nonpartisan staff are directed to make any technical corrections and amend the title. I want to thank all the chairs and your committee for putting together this important work. Thank you. Well, members, with that, we are ending. We're not done.
We have another
one?
We don't have to, Madam Chair. It's
okay. All right. Here we go. It's a bill that is moving separate. Okay. You know, I was just trying to make your Representative Garofalo. I was just trying to make your request earlier today a reality.
Yes,
you know.
Yes, absolutely. So thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay, so the last bill up is House File 3872, the Supplemental Higher Education Omnibus Bill. Chair Bernardi, would you like to move House File 3872 to be recommended for placement on the general register?
So moved, Madam Chair.
And I believe you also have an author's amendment to get the bill in the shape that you would like to present it?
Yes, Madam Chair. This, the 8-8 amendment changes how we do has some technical language for the Office of Higher Education, as well as changing some of the funding amounts, because we are, this program for the 2-year free college and technical college is going to be stood up in 2024, and the money needs to be changed around a little bit, and more money is going to go to the student support services at the University of Minnesota, as well as the operation and maintenance at Minnesota State universities and colleges. And then those are the areas in which we are making that correction, so our bill is in the shape that we need it in. And then there's also fostering independence higher education grants that needed some technical tweaks as well.
All right. Well, thank you for that explanation, Chair Bernardi. Can you, I get you to also move the amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to move the A8 amendment.
Thank you. Members, are there any questions? Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Chair Bernardi. I'm just trying to understand one thing. The free 2-year college tuition change that you're doing, you're paying for OHE to set it up, but we're not actually administrating or, you know, providing any support to any students until much later. Can you just explain the reason why we're doing that so I understand?
Representative O'Neill. We, the Office of Higher Education is not able to get the program started any earlier. We need to get the program it started as soon as we can, and that's the first they are able to get it started, because they have to do some legwork and groundwork for the first year of the program to get it initiated the next year. So that was at their request.
Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just briefly, so I see you have $975,000 left on the bottom line. How many FTEs, how many new FTEs do we need to stand up this program?
I do not have that number with me today.
Mr. Savory or Mr. Savory? Welcome to the committee, Mr. Savory. Can you please introduce yourself and proceed.
Certainly, Madam Chair, for the tape, Ken Savory, House Fiscal Staff. The most recent fiscal note had 1.5 FTEs in FY23, but because the appropriation will be reduced from the original amount projected down to the 975,000, that number may be different. So I would defer to the Office of Higher Ed to have any additional information if the FTE number will be different now that the appropriation has changed.
Ms. Oliver, can you explain more?
Madam Chair and committee members, my name is Nikki Oliver. I'm the Director of Grants and Government Relations for the Minnesota Office of Higher Education. So in the first year to set up, it obviously will take a lot more time to get a program off the ground. So there's more staff time in that first year. I believe it's one FTE total ongoing after that. And most of the funding that is requested for admin is actually IT funding. And then the other portion is the FTE and the work that it takes for communication of a large financial aid program such as this.
Thank you. Representative O'Neill.
Thank you. That makes a lot more sense. One FTE for, or $975,000 for one FTE would be a bit hefty. But if we have to stand up an entire IT system to go with it, that's, as we talked about earlier, Representative Nash brought that up, that's cumbersome. It might cost more than that. And then the last thing I would say is it looks like what you're doing is you're taking the savings from that and then equally splitting it essentially. There's a slight variation to the two big systems, so the Minn State system and the University of Minnesota system. And it looks like to me we're just putting it on O&M. Is that accurate?
Chair Bernardi.
Madam Chair, thank you. And thank you, Representative O'Neill, for that question. We are, University of Minnesota asked for a Promise Grant scholarship and support services as well. And so they've asked to have that money put into support services for the students. And then I also want to mention that we have $2.5 million for the University of Minnesota to do the electrical fleet sustainability project.
Representative O'Neill.
Thank you. I forgot about the electric cars. So, okay. Electric cars, great. All right. Thank you, Madam Chair. Okay.
Representative Scott.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Chair Bernardi, there's $1.5 million in 2023 for the transfer into the green training program account in the special revenue fund. I don't sit on your committee. Could you tell me what that program is and what its purpose is?
Chair Bernardi.
Yes, Madam.
What that money will be used for.
Yes, Madam Chair and Representative Scott. I have I'm just getting the information here about that. But one of the things is it works with the University of Minnesota as well as the workers there. And it focuses on solutions that will lower costs, lower emission, and create cleaner, healthier campuses. Things from organic waste to lead, changing the lead lights, different things that workers can do to help with the sustainability. So it's a collaborative project, and I had a bunch of lists of those, and I'm trying to find that here, but that gives you the overall look at that program.
Representative Scott.
Madam Chair and Representative Bernardi, does the U want this? Are they in favor of this?
Chair Bernardi.
The workers at the university, yes, are in favor of this. The University of Minnesota has not asked for this and is not as supportive of it.
Representative Scott.
Madam Chair, I'm hearing from the lead on the higher ed committee that is not the case, that the U doesn't want this. So I don't know if you want to ask Representative O'Neill or not, but it's interesting.
Madam Chair.
Chair Bernardi.
I just wanted to be clear that I said that the workers at the University of Minnesota wanted it, but the University of Minnesota administration did not ask for it.
Okay. Seeing no further questions, the 8th amendment is before us. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
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 All those opposed say nay.
No.
The motion prevails. So House File 3872, as amended, is before us. Chair Bernardi, would you like to continue with your presentation of your bill?
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Today, I'm honored to share with you House File 3872, which will serve as our House Higher Education Supplemental Budget. All Minnesota families and students deserve the opportunity to access a world-class education no matter where they live or what they look like. That is why our higher education bill is investing more than $100 million to increase equity, affordability, sustainability, and student well-being and safety in our post-secondary system. We have heard from students, parents, administrators, and faculty this year, and I'd like to share some of the highlights of this bill. It focuses on affordability, equity, sustainability, as well as student well-being and safety, as I mentioned earlier, starting with affordability. The two-year free college proposal in this bill will put the promise of higher education and the entry point to the middle class within reach for every single child in a low-income family in Minnesota. Two-year free college, including our technical colleges, will reframe how working families think about the opportunity presented by higher education, making it achievable for more than 17,000 students in Minnesota. And this bill goes even further to lower the cost of higher education by making new investments into the state grant program that will further lower the cost of college for more than 65,000 students in Minnesota. Finally, the bill also increases support for student parents, students studying social work, education, and addiction medicine. To increase equity, this bill increases our 2021 investments that will support teachers of color, getting more teachers of color and indigenous teachers into the classroom, underrepresented student teachers, and students who are also parents trying to finish degrees. The bill also makes historic changes for students seeking access to higher education with intellectual disabilities. The inclusive higher education grants in the bill will open doors on college campuses to thousands of underserved or underserved students with intellectual disabilities. The bill also increases investments that support Native American students receiving the Minnesota Indian Scholarship and increases funding for Minnesota tribal colleges. This bill makes significant investments in reducing higher education's climate impact by funding sustainability improvements at the University of Minnesota. It also funds higher education research and groundbreaking natural resource technologies at the Natural Resource Research Institute at the University of Minnesota in northern Minnesota, and facilitates the creation of a 50-year clean water plan. Regarding student well-being and safety, this bill also ensures our Minnesota college students are learning in a safe and secure environment by funding the U of M's campus safety and security request to create safer spaces on campus through technology enhancement, lights, doors, and student safety online apps. The bill also funds Minnesota State's request to increase mental health and student basic needs support to help provide students with services that need to be healthy and productive on campus. Our education budget is student-centered with lots of provisions that will provide critical support to our students now while delivering a brighter, equitable, and prosperous future for Minnesotans who as we emerge from this pandemic. With that, Madam Chair and members, I stand for questions.
So there's no other amendments that were pre-filed to Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Chair Bernardi, I just have one quick question and then I have a comment. So when we were looking at the tribal colleges doing their O&M, which we've never done historically, mm-hmm. unless they're actually part of the Minn State system, mm-hmm. which we have one, there was great concern. In fact, OHI pointed it out as well, that there wasn't enacting policy. So we need some policy before we can just do that. And I didn't see that in your amendment. So I'm wondering, have you been working with OHI to develop some policy? Where do we stand with that? It's really important.
Chair Bernardi.
It is my understanding, and I'd like to call Nathan Hopkins to discuss that provision with the committee.
Mr. Hopkins.
Madam Chair and members, Nathan Hopkins with Nonpartisan House Research. If you look at the first engrossment of the bill, on page 2, line 20, this is where the committee's decided to give $3 million to provide to the tribal colleges for their operating expenses. There's no particular guidance on how the language should be spent. It just says that it should be used for the tribal college's general operations and maintenance expenses.
Representative O'Neill.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, so when we had this subject come up in higher ed, OHE did say that there needs to be some parameters and some policy as we discussed. So I was just hoping that maybe that had been worked on. It sounds like it really has not. So if we're going to do that, because here's the thing, the tribal colleges are not only private, but they're also sovereign. It's a very complex issue if we're going to give them O&M. It's different if you're doing a scholarship because we have ways to track that, but there just isn't a tracking of once we give out this money, there isn't a tracking of it. And so I have a concern if that has not been remedied, it needs to be remedied. I would close with this because I know we're all tired. We were here exceptionally late last night. You know, we're spending $100 million in this fiscal year. We're spending $150 million in the next fiscal year. And my concern is after we've spent all of that money, we are still going to see a tuition increase at both systems. I know that I've had two regents reach out to me already. They're already in conversations about not just a raise, tuition increase, but how much the tuition increase will be. I happen to know also at Minn State, they were very clear with their $60 million ask that $25 million of that is specifically for O&M so that they can do a tuition freeze. We don't come close to that. We're a little bit better with the amendment, but we are not there. So even though we have literally $100 million in this fiscal and $150 million in the next fiscal, we will absolutely see tuition increases on students. So I hope that as this goes through conference committee, that we will focus, laser focus on students and make sure tuition does not go up if we're going to spend that kind of money. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative O'Neill. Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Two things. One, I would encourage members to, in the Star Tribune on April 16th, they did an excellent story called Code Red Moment. Fewer people going to college in Minnesota could reshape higher education and workforce. Ryan Faircloth of the Star Tribune did an excellent story on this. I would encourage members to read it. GOP members, I emailed it to staff to share with members to read that, but it talks about the various factors that are playing into the declining enrollment of college in the state of Minnesota and items that people should be aware of. The point that I would focus on is that many families are, I think a lot of us when we were growing up knew that we wanted to go to college, we were supposed to go to college, the value proposition justified that, and for various reasons now families are taking a look at college and deciding it's not really in their best professional the professional goals. And it's a longer story than what I'm mentioning, but I would really encourage members to read that. My question for Representative Bernardi, Madam Chair, Representative Bernardi, nationwide we've seen that college enrollment now, there's a big difference between the number of males and females that are going to college. Latest data shows that college is now broken down into 60%, new enrollments into college are 60% female, 40% male. There's a big gap. Have we seen that in Minnesota? Second part of the question is, are we doing anything about it?
Chair Bernardi.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We have not addressed that in our bill. We have worked on equity for students across the state with intellectual abilities, as well as students of color and indigenous students, and that has been the focus on our bill.
Representative Roth.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay, seeing no further discussion. Chair Bernardi, do you have any closing comments?
Thank you, Madam Chair. This bill opens the door for opportunities for Minnesotans throughout the state, men, women, our parents, teachers of color and indigenous teachers who are going to college to become teachers and earn their credentials with student teaching. Our Native American students. It is a bill that we are making it more affordable for students to go to college. We do not have a tuition freeze in this bill. We are making two-year college and the technical colleges free for students of lower income families up to $75,000, as well as families, middle-class families up to $125,000. They will see half, at that point, they will see half of their college paid, their two-year college paid for. So this helps throughout Minnesota and helps our economy to get more people with the credentials for what our workforce needs and the business needs. And so this will help with, other states have found that this helps with the declining enrollment and helps get students in school and get them into our workforce and economy with higher credentials and making Minnesota more prosperous and families more prosperous. Thank you for your support. And of course, I urge a yes vote on this bill. Thank you very much.
All right, Chair Bernardi, I really want to thank you for your committee work to expand access to a quality higher education. Having, you know, first 2 years of college tuition free is a great option and a great way to lead to give, you know, individuals a quality education. And so, Chair Bernardi, I would like to renew your motion that House File 3872, as amended, be recommended for placement on the general register, and that nonpartisan staff be directed to make any technical corrections and amend the title. Ms. Anna, could you please take the roll?
Chair Moran?
Aye.
Moran, aye. Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Garofalo?
Garofalo, no.
Garofalo, no. Representative Albright?
No.
Albright, no. Representative Becker-Finn?
Aye.
Becker-Finn, aye. Representative Bernardi?
Aye.
Bernardi, aye. Representative Eklund?
Aye.
Eklund, aye. Representative Hansen?
Aye.
Hansen, aye. Representative Hassan?
Hassan, aye.
Hassan, aye. Representative Hertas? Representative Hornstein?
Hornstein, aye.
Hornstein, aye. Representative Johnson?
Johnson, no.
Johnson, no. Representative Kreshaw?
Kreshaw, no.
Kreshaw, no. Representative Liebling?
Liebling, aye.
Liebling, aye. Representative Lilly, excused. Representative Mariani? Aye. Representative Marquardt?
Aye.
Marquardt, aye. Representative Miller, excused. Representative Nash?
Nash, no.
Nash, no. Representative Nelson?
Nelson, aye.
Nelson, aye. Representative Noor?
Noor, aye.
Noor, aye. Representative O'Neill?
O'Neill, no.
O'Neill, no. Representative Pulowski?
Pulowski, aye.
Pulowski, aye. Representative Petersburg?
No.
Petersburg, no. Representative Pinto?
Aye.
Pinto, aye. Representative Schumacher?
Schumacher, no.
Schumacher, no. Representative Schultz?
Aye.
Schultz, aye. Representative Scott?
No.
Scott, no. Representative Sundin?
Sundin, aye.
Sundin, aye. Okay. Representative Hertas? And Representative Mariani?
Mariani, aye.
Mariani, aye. Madam Chair, that is 17 ayes and 9 nays.
There have been 17 ayes and 9 nays. The motion prevails. House File 3872, as amended, is recommended for placement on the general register, and nonpartisan staff are directed to make any technical corrections and amend the title. Thank you so much for your work, Chair Bernardi.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Well, members, I think I am correct in saying this, that our work is complete for today. And we have covered a lot of ground, so I want to thank you all for your contribution today. It matters. So with that, thank you, members, and the meeting is adjourned.